In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Blessed feast.
Blessed feast.
So on this Holy Feast of Pentecost, we continue an ancient celebration. Even before Christ, Pentecost was celebrated by the Jews, only not as the coming of the Holy Spirit, but as 50 days after their feast of Passover, when Moses received God's law on the tablets on Mount Sinai. So this was already an established feast, which Christ and his church has fulfilled, filled to the fullest, completed. And so now we, 50 days after the resurrection, celebrate this day when the apostles received the Holy Spirit, illuminated by fire to do the work that God had appointed them to do. And that work was to preach the gospel to all nations. Each one heard the same gospel in his own language. Brothers and sisters, we too, having been illumined in chrismation and have been sealed with that same Holy Spirit. Now, sometimes Pentecost is also called the birthday of the church. I believe in years past, perhaps the children might have learned a song about this. This is not universally established or accepted, but it's a wonderful, fun piety to remember the church's birthday. And so, if it is the birthday of the church, it is because Pentecost is the fulfillment of the covenant which God made with Abraham all those years ago to make him the father of many nations. And now the disciples, the apostles, are preaching in every tongue to all the nations. And they do this not of their own power, certainly not, but by the grace of the Holy Spirit who descended upon them, who is worshipped together with the Father and the Son. And just as he guided his people prior to Christ by the Holy Spirit speaking through the prophets, the Holy Spirit continues to guide the church fathers on this side of the incarnation. And we say this, that the church is guided by the Holy Spirit. And this is not just some nice idea. This is not something that we do to explain away why our bishops make certain decisions. We see this, it's a biblical concept. It's a biblical idea. Right there in the book of Acts, chapter 15. There's a council that assembles in Jerusalem to settle some controversy that had arisen. And when the council had settled their decision, they wrote a letter to all the churches, and in this letter, they put a brief preamble to what their decision was by saying, "It seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us." It seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us. Not, "We have decided, therefore it is." But we have discussed it, we have prayed, and we agree that this course is for the benefit of the church under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit guides the church. But this guidance is not only for saints and bishops to do the work that God puts them to, but also to guide us for the work that he has given us of drawing near to communion with him. Now, there's a prayer that the priest prays towards the beginning of Orthros. He stands in front of the icon of Christ on the iconostasis here. And a portion of that prayer, we read, "Grant us grace in the opening of our mouth and receive our thanksgivings as we have power to make them, and instruct us in thy statutes. For we know not how to pray as we ought, unless thou, O Lord, by thy Holy Spirit, dost guide us." I'm going to repeat that last line again. "For we know not how to pray, unless thou, O Lord, by thy Holy Spirit, dost guide us." And it's for this reason that we begin most of our services and often start our private prayers and our gatherings, our men's and women's groups and other things, with the prayer to the Holy Spirit. O Heavenly King, O Comforter, the Spirit of Truth, who art in all places and fillest all things, the treasure of good things and giver of life, come and abide in us, cleanse us from every stain, and save our souls, O Good One. We start with this prayer to the Holy Spirit so that whatever follows, we have first asked the Holy Spirit to come and make his home in us so that we might be instructed how to pray and what to pray for, so that we might have the Holy Spirit guide our discussions with other people. And again, I do this more often than I'd care to admit, and so I imagine that some of you might do it also. With the prayers that I've heard over and over again, that I've said over and over again, on occasion I'll gloss over the words without thinking about what they mean. Come and abide in us. Come and dwell in us. Make your abode or your dwelling place in me. Make my soul your home, O Holy Spirit. Start with this. Start with this. But why do we have to start with this so often? Why can't we just say, "All right, Holy Spirit, come make your home in me forever," and just stay there? Why do we have to keep saying it day in, day out? And in the liturgy, multiple times, we said it at the beginning of Orthros. We said it, the choir sang it at the end of Orthros. The priest says it again just before the beginning of the liturgy. And I think one more time perhaps in there. At Vespers. Well, certainly today we'll say it for Vespers. So why over and over again? Well, the answer is that we have to say it over and over again because God and sin are not compatible. God and sin are not compatible. And so, we who are sinners, who trip over our own 2 feet day in and day out, need to re-invite God to come and dwell in us. So as many times as we stumble, we need to be re-reconciled to him. I imagine it like inviting that popular image of the mother who always comes to cook and clean whenever she visits. That's not everybody's mother, but many of us know that image. When we ask the Holy Spirit to come and abide in us, to dwell in us, we can expect the Holy Spirit to clean the house of our souls. This is what we should expect. And if you're like most people who struggle in sin, like me, then your soul is also cluttered with all sorts of useless or perhaps harmful things. It can be very uncomfortable to let go of things that we aren't ready to let go of yet. And so I urge you that having invited the Holy Spirit to dwell in you, to be careful not to go recover from the garbage that which the Holy Spirit has shown you to be trash. Allow the Holy Spirit to clean the house of your soul and don't rush to reclutter it. We had a discussion during the camping trip this past week on Thursday with the children. We talked about God, how in the 6 days of creation, he did two actions. Do you remember this? The first action, anybody? They're all looking at each other. God put things in order first and foremost. This is how he created. He put things in order, and then he filled them with life. Thank you. He put the things in order, and he filled them with life. And so, too, when our souls are uncluttered and in order, we have the fullness of God's life in us. And so, especially on this day, and especially in the kneeling prayers, we remember the work of the Holy Spirit in those who came before us and ask him to come and dwell in us and cleanse our souls and to do that same work in us so that we might draw near to him and do his work. To the glory of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.